The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius, Bob and Cheshire.
Oh, hi, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Just in time for Father's Day, Bubble Genius is proud to present their O-Balls Golf Ball Soap Gift Bucket. Due to popular demand, they've made a gift pack out of the same golf ball soaps that are in their Nice Pair 2-pack for all those dads who love golf. They come in a galvanized metal bucket with 8 balls, the perfect gift for the golf dad in your life. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order of balls. Only at BubbleGenius.com. Hey, let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
We say it makes you feel like a real man when you shoot.
It's a nice feeling. I enjoy it.
It feels good. Your body feels good like a proper man.
Especially when you're shooting a machine gun.
How many can it kill?
It's about 800 rounds per minute.
Walla Walla is a good gun.
After I'm done with guns, I always go to the topless club.
Walla Walla, I like it very much.
Only to shoot the gun
and to see a big...
That really sums it up.
High five!
It's all about I kick your ass, Osama.
Walla Walla! You are a real man. High five! Can you buy this gun for self-defense?
It's possible. It's not easy to.
Can you buy anti-tank gun for self-defense?
You can.
Good.
In Texas.
On the internet, we're the tops. Wonderful. Here's the hot one.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, June 4, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right across.
Hello.
Right across the ocean. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's part of the title of the show because they're so great. They make the best bath and body products in the entire universe. Go to BubbleGenius.com and get lots of soap, especially for Father's Day, in ball form. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you're being sued by Chuck C. Johnson, better call Bo. By the way, the Bowen Law Group wants to give you free answers to legal questions. For our listeners only, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page and you get your legal questions answered. Charles
only
J. Bowen.
Only for our people. If you're anybody else who says no, you get out of my office.
That's right. Well, don't go linking the URL to everybody on Twitter or Facebook. Just you keep that for yourself. You're listening. Use that for your own nefarious means.
That's right.
All right. It's the best way to go.
It's a big secret. It's just between you and the 23,000 other people listening to this show.
Okay. Oh, by the way, go to our Patreon page and support the show. We're doing a fundraiser there. Patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the link right on the website. Just below the logo, you'll see giant capital letters that say Patreon. Just click that and go donate, why don't you?
Give us money.
Also, big thanks to our spectacular new affiliate, Little Green Footballs. Little Green Footballs is now an affiliate of the show. They're carrying the Bob and Chez show.
Indeed.
I love Little Green Footballs. As I told Charles Johnson when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, it's one of the first places I go every morning to find out what the hell is going on in the world. And Charles Johnson, one of the good guys, not to be confused with Chuck C. Johnson. We're going to actually talk about Chuck C. Johnson officially on this show. And I'm sorry, you know, it's one of those things. Last Tuesday, we were teasing it and we were talking about how we're going to play these clips from that crazy interview that he did, and we never got to it. It just sometimes happens where we just absolutely run out of time. So we're going to absolutely do it today. We're going to do that today. Plus lots of other stuff. Oh, I think we should do this. Lots of reaction, speaking of our Tuesday show.
Oh, yeah, what's this?
Letters.
We get letters.
Oh, we get letters.
They're not really letters.
We get your letters every day.
tweets is more like it. We got some nice tweets and comments from Tuesday's show. Stephanie Lentz says, damn it, Bob Seska, go. I had 2 minutes left in my workout listening to Bob and Chez when you played that Arky Arky song. Obviously not a fan of our Duggar music, our Duggar theme music.
The Lord said to Noah, oh, there's going to be a floody, floody, Lord.
Oh, everyone loves that. Especially Chez.
Yep.
Hello.
Back in elementary school.
By the way.
Back in elementary school on Friday, sitting through chapel, and seriously, like, the very first time in my life, but certainly not the last, I thought about jumping through a f***ing window.
By the way, we're going to talk about the Duggar interview. Wow. I just choked on something right there.
You choked on some Jesus.
Good Lord, Jesus just choked me.
Yep, that's a little bit of Jesus there. It's Jesus. That's Jesus talking to you through your throat.
Oh my God, that was harrowing.
That's Jesus putting himself all the way down your throat.
I need a little bit of this now.
The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody Lord.
All right, shut up. Let's see, what else? Alan Fisher said, I think I speak for the entire world when I suggest that Chez Pazienza be allowed to nuke that effing clown car music from orbit. People loving our music on the show. The clown car music for the Republicans.
Satanic. It's the satanic clown car.
Chris, also known as @comedyistherapy, tweets, oh no, not Animotion and the Dan Bedondi, LOL, falls out of wheelchair. Because he was listening to our bionic Dan Bedondi bit from a couple of weeks ago. But please be careful. We cannot be held liable if you fall out of your wheelchair. Due to our Dan Bedondi clips. LM tweets, oh my God, absolutely love the Bob and Chez Show podcast. Hair pieces of Trump Rand Paul was hilarious. Well, that was nice. Yeah. That was our bit from Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else. LibSec Humanist tweets, oh man, I fell onto my fainting couch and clutched my pearls listening to Bob and Chez Show's Lindsey Graham bit. Hilarious.
LibSec Humanist, the like mortal enemy of the Duggars.
Obviously, LibSec Humanist really liked us saying strength.
Strength.
Yep, strength. Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham believes in peace through strength.
It dawns on me who he is. He's Randy. Did I get the name right? He's Randy from Family Guy.
Liberty through strength.
Yep.
I'm going to be the strength candidate.
Yeah, his new thing this week, in fact, I think just this morning or yesterday, yeah, all the today. Days run together for me. I think it was on Fox and Friends. He did an interview where he said, you know, if you're tired of war, then you don't vote for me. Thanks a lot.
God.
Thanks, Jack Hole. Please. Because what we really need are more wars.
More wars and more strength.
Yep. He's going to show America strength. And you know what? Nothing is going to make ISIS quake in its boots more than Lindsey freaking Graham saying, I'm coming for you, ISIS. I am coming for you.
I'm at half mast. I'm at half strength.
He's like the equivalent of what's his name from Life of Brian. He has a wife, you know. Incontinentia buttocks.
Yes.
Biggest dickus.
Michael. Oh my God. Travis Bone from the Stephanie Miller Show made me spit my coffee out the other morning. He said of Lindsey Graham that Lindsey Graham is a bossy bottom. I would say that's exactly right.
I think that's a perfect way to put it. Yeah.
Bossy bottom. More strength back there. A little more strength. So moving along, Kelly Davis said, was thinking of doing my best bionic Dan Bedondi impression. Will that get me excused from jury duty? I would say that's a yes.
Probably.
Easy way to get out of jury duty. Just start talking about the Illuminati and the dove and the crow and the seagull. And they'll let you out of jury duty.
Oh, yeah, that's what this is. Bedondi is nothing but one giant perpetual game at getting out of jury duty. It's a big dodge.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Corporal Klinger. Carrying out that dodge for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Just never letting go. Also from the comment section, I laughed so hard when you guys, this is Emily 333, I laughed so hard when you guys started talking about Lindsey Graham's chub. Chez does a great Lindsey Graham. Well, that is absolutely right.
Yes, that's right. I do Lindsey Graham.
You do him.
He'd like that. I think he'd like that a lot.
At full strength.
He better not get bossy with me. I'll slap him in the face with my dick.
Draxiar writes, the inescapable curls of humanity, from the Trump and Rand hair restoration system. Holy whack-a-mole, that's eye-popping funny. And Hillary B. said, the battery on that clown car sounds like it's about to die, LOL. I love the Gone with the Wind theme music for Lindsey Graham. It's perfect. Well, good. We've got a clown car. Oh, well, we might as well do this now. We've got election news. Plus in-depth Duggar information.
You're really between, though. When you talk about election news, you are definitely, you have to make the choice between this triumphant music and honestly the clown car music.
Yeah.
Because there are like 80 people in the clown car now.
I know. Gotta have this. Maybe it's just the sub theme. We start out with this because this is my favorite thing on cable news, actually, this theme right here. But then there's also this. So
This should be the theme on cable news, though. Like, isn't it really, really incongruous these days to hear this sort of triumphant music about how the greatness of America when they're talking about American politics, particularly Republican politics? It doesn't work. It doesn't fit anymore.
Didn't Chris Matthews used to do like some sort of like merry-go-round bit or something where he played music like this?
Yeah, he did the political carnival or whatever.
Yeah, political carnival.
Yeah,
that's right.
Or so, whatever. Well, I can't remember what he calls it.
Yeah. So Rick Perry is now officially in the clown car, and that gives us an excuse to to wheel out my favorite Rick Perry clip.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone: commerce, education. And the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
You need five.
Oh, five. No, okay. So, five. Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's stop deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's no doubt about
it. You can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce.
Oh, he's running again.
Is it some kind of scam? Do they get to keep the money that they make off of campaigning?
I think they do.
Way?
I mean, didn't Stephen Colbert reveal that the super PAC money you could somehow give to yourself?
Because this has got to be a scam. It has to be. There's no way Rick Perry thinks, as dumb as he is, there's no way Rick Perry thinks he can actually win the Republican nomination, much less the presidency.
Yeah.
There has to be another angle for him.
It's all an angle. For most, I would say all but maybe two of them. The angle is we're going to amplify our media presence, our resume, by saying we're presidential candidates. And then we're going to get a really good Fox News deal. We're going to get an AM talk radio show. We're going to get a syndicated column. We're going to be able to sit on a bunch of boards, you know, where you work for, 3 days a year and you collect $200,000?
Yeah. You know. No, I think you're right. I heard somebody else mention this a while back, like a couple of years ago, that with the sort of rise of cable and the rise of all of this media, everyone is looking to sort of increase their Q score.
Yeah, it's exactly,
you know, their social media and all media Q score.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's all about you know, when they speak now, they speak that, you know, they don't just sort of speak off the cuff. They speak with the idea, although the Republicans seem to do that quite a bit, but they speak with this idea that they are these actors talking to CNN, talking to the whole country, talking to their base and so on. And yeah, it's all about sort of getting people on board so that it boosts who they are. It boosts their brand. I hate to say it. It boosts their brand.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, one of the first times in history, maybe the first time in history, where presidents or candidates are running for president strictly to do that. I mean, they've always been careerists. They've been egomaniacs and careerists. Everyone who runs for president is an egomaniac and a careerist. That's just a fact of life. Only then it used to be that they legitimately wanted to win. These guys, and the reason why there are so many guys in that clown car is because they have no intention of winning, that this is just part of the business model.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you hit it on the head. You know, Ted Cruz, for all of the idiotic things that come out of his mouth, is not a stupid man. He knows full well that he's not going to win. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stand a chance. It's just about building up his brand.
Now, check this out. This is the actual beginning of Rick Perry's campaign announcement. He played a custom written and recorded rap song.
Yeah, like country rap, of course. It's
country rap. Well, most
sung,
of it,
sung by white people. Because yeah. If it were rap by actual black people, half the crowd would have shot them.
Well, I think there were black people rapping it. And then there was...
were
what,
there really?
Like I think there were. I think it was an actual black rapper doing this. And then there was a country music guy doing, what, the choruses or something? It was just... It's the most insane thing, given that it was derpy, doofus Rick Perry. Let's listen
MC,
to
MC Uncle Tom.
Let's hear a little bit of this.
That's not a black guy.
The rapper is not a black guy, you don't think?
Well, what can you? Are you going from the audio? Or are you going from video? Do you have actual video?
No, I'm just listening to the audio.
Oh no, dude, that's white guys pretending to be black.
That's more offensive.
Absolutely. That's white guys. That's MC Rove right there. Remember MC Rove?
Yeah, and David Gregory doing that.
Yep, that's exactly what that is. That's white guys pretending to be black.
Holy hell!
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll steal your music. But we're going to shoot your ass, too.
Rick Perry supporter, protect our border. Jesus Christ. Don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Takes my check to a Take my guns?
Oh, my God. Got none to say
for the good Lord. They've got every right-wing shibboleth in there.
Yep, it's hit every single note. It's like the back in the late 80s or mid 80s, the sort of C-level hair bands.
Yeah, right, right.
Where all they talk like it's like they had a little Mad Libs, a bingo card. And it was like, you know, Saturday night, drinking Jack, partying, you know, riding a Harley, blonde chicks. Actually, amazingly, that is what folded into modern day country. So, give me my right to vote, my right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you want, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I mean,
could he really be more of an embarrassment? Wow. I mean, that is just
seriously,
so. I mean, I'm embarrassed for him.
He's just a cliche. He is the worst kind of. He is just a. He's nothing. He's non-existent.
Yeah.
It's just a cliche. He was engineered in a lab somewhere. He's not engineered in a lab somewhere. He's not even good enough to be engineered somewhere. He is a copycat of that thing that was engineered.
The funniest thing about it, though, wasn't just the rap song. It was the fact that by the end of the speech, I mean, it went on for, I think it was about 30 minutes, seemed like 5 hours.
Yeah.
But by the end, Rick Perry was sweating like Nixon. I mean, not just a little bit of sweat. I mean, his face looked like a Krispy Kreme.
Well, where'd they do it? Like Houston or something?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Somewhere in Texas where it was about 1,000 degrees.
So, yeah, it's some like fucking armpit where it's, you know, a million degrees and 1,000% humidity.
And then he had
cockroaches the size of Volkswagens.
He had these two like baby Huey twins standing behind him. These guys looked like baby Huey. I don't know what their names were. I don't know what their background is. But if Rick Perry was sweating a little bit, they were just sweating bullets. I mean, they had looked like they were just in a shower. In fact, when I first saw the picture, I thought it was raining. But upon further study, it was not raining. They were sweating. This has just really got me excited to see the ongoing train wreck.
That song is going to stay in my head.
You see Scott Walker derped about rape this week. This is the front runner. He right after derping about how cool transvaginal ultrasounds are. Yeah. He said that women who are raped and become pregnant only are concerned about being raped in the first initial months. And then after that, they don't care. He said, I mean, I think for most people who are concerned about having been raped, it's in the initial months where they're most concerned about it. Walker said of pregnancies caused by rape and incest. That's your front runner. That guy and Jeb Bush, who can't open his mouth without choking on his own tongue, they're leading the pack in the GOP clown car. Boy, yeah. I mean, just would it be too much to ask for to have an adult in the room instead of this?
I miss it. I kind of do.
Yeah.
I kind of miss what, at the very least, it was a race years ago.
Right.
You know, you had people on both sides who had ideas and who represented their slice of the electorate really well. Mm-hmm. And now you've got this lunacy.
Really? Yep.
This absolute this embarrassment.
There's not a single grown-up in the entire pack.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, what does it say that Rick Santorum has been the most gaff-free of the group? Yeah. They can't walk up to the stage without doing like a Chevy Chase pratfall. Good God. Hey, we're late for a break. We're going to come back and talk Duggars right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Really appreciate you listening this week. Thank you. Little Green Footballs reports that Mike Huckabee has pulled the Duggar endorsements from his website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
I think that
really gives you an indication of how well their interview went over last night.
Yeah, it was just a disaster. It really was. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it live as it was going. Well, it was pre-recorded, but as they were first airing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not good for them. They're not helping themselves at all.
Not at all.
And the crazy thing was everything they said was prepared. I mean, they were obviously very, very well rehearsed.
Yep. They had time and they were softballed.
Yeah. And
they
and,
just were. You know what? I'm sorry, but they wouldn't have given an interview to Fox News if they didn't understand full well going into it that Fox News was not going to be an antagonistic environment.
Yes.
Of course it wasn't.
There were some things that Megyn Kelly was obliged to ask them.
Right.
But for the most part, it was here, exonerate yourself.
Yeah.
Exonerate away.
And they couldn't even do that right.
They couldn't. Michelle Duggar, the worst actor on television.
Mm-hmm.
And that only began to tell the story of what actually went horribly awry. I mean, at one
she's insane.
She really is.
She's f***ing crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're both just lifeless automatons.
Yeah.
They were both just, it was just flatline. No emotion. And when they did express some emotion, and it was mainly from Michelle, it was so effing phony baloney.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, Michelle Duggar said that Josh was the quote-unquote their first child to do this, which was just stupid. I mean, I'm not suggesting other children in the Duggar family have done this sort of thing.
Right.
But you never say first, because that implies a second or a third. You say, Josh, the only time this has ever happened to us with Johnny.
You're talking about a kid who, according to another report by In Touch and another police report from 2006, actually committed 7 acts of molestation.
Right.
One on a 5-year-old sister, when he was 15 years old, one on the babysitter.
I mean, see, that's what they were trying to do, though. I mean, I was just going to say something about the 5-year-old. What the entire goal of the Duggar's mission last night was to mitigate everything, to make every to downplay what went on. So sexual assault became quote unquote improper touching.
Right.
I wish I had a dollar for every time they said improper touching.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, this is it was all so clearly coached and written down. Michelle Duggar actually had her talking points sitting on her lap.
Yeah, I mean, look, and this the thing is, it isn't going to. I mean, it may have an impact in the sense that it may wind up getting their show actually canceled, and I won't be surprised if it doesn't at this rate. They really bombed last night.
Yeah,
but their I don't know. Their responses were just they were so creepy, but they don't care. You know, to them, it's like they really do. I think they genuinely don't see this as a problem.
No, they don't.
I don't think they ever did. And I think they really do believe that they're persecuted, that this is like,
yes.
Look, I don't care what the – we don't – you know, and I think they're confused by it because I think that they're looking at it going, I don't understand how liberals – this is – you know, why do liberals consider this rape? Why do liberals consider this a form of sexual assault when in reality it's just improper touching.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, they live in such a fucking hermetically sealed bubble filled with the glory of Jesus, and they distrust outsiders so much that whatever the outsiders think of them and whatever they have to say about the acts that go on within their home, it just doesn't register with them.
That's right. At one point, Jim Bob said, quote, this was not rape or anything like that. This was like touching somebody over the clothes and a couple of times under the clothes.
That's sexual assault.
That's sexual assault.
Under the clothes is sexual assault.
Of course it is.
Unless there's penetration, that usually doesn't count for rape, but that's still sexual assault. Yeah, the new report says that at one point he went up to, I think it's one of his sisters, and put his hand like all the way up her skirt or something.
Oh,
dude, that's
God.
Sexual assault.
Yeah, of course it is.
Another point. You know, and they're trying to shift the blame onto – well, you know, why isn't everybody upset about the fact that this information was leaked to begin with? Really? That's honestly that's your play here?
Yeah, that's the grift continues. They're going to try to sue that woman who leaked the information.
Good luck.
I think it was a judge, like a retiring judge, and like the last thing that she wanted to do, and this is how they're alleging it went down, that the last thing she wanted to do was to get back at them.
Oh my God.
And so they're exploring legal options with the lawyers.
Good luck with that, guys.
Good God. Yeah, talk about just absolutely tone deaf. I mean, the thing that kept running through my head over and over again as I was actually live tweeting it last night. The thing that kept running through my head was white trash.
Yeah.
It was like white trash, white trash, white
rich
trash.
White trash.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it's funny that you use the word tone deaf. Everything they do is tone deaf.
Yeah.
They have no appreciation for how things actually work in the real world. They live in, like I said, they live in this bubble to where they don't understand when something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as they're concerned, if the outside world thinks it's right, it's wrong. If the outside world thinks it's wrong, it's right.
It's a very Palin-esque way to behave. That's not a bad comparison, I think, comparing them to the Palins, even though the Palins haven't had a scandal quite like this. Right. They've got that same disconnect, that same piece missing from their brain, where behavior that's unacceptable to the rest of us is totally acceptable to them.
Right, but I think even Palin has some idea, because she has genuine interaction with you know, people who think differently than her, even
that's
if
true.
She may be an asshole, and she may be, you know, she may be the kind of person who likes to square off against that and play the role of the, you know, the whatever the hell she is, you know, the sort of insulated mama from Wasilla up there. But there's something about these people. I mean, obviously they've been exposed to everyone around the country by virtue of their show, but there's the fact that they're religious zealots, I think, takes them to an entirely different level
when
it comes to sort of their ability to interact with people.
Well, that was one of the most fascinating and disturbing remarks of the interview, which was when Jim Bob said that, you know, we've talked to other families who've had molestation situation. Or he didn't say molestation, but who've basically been through the same thing. But it was even worse in their circumstances.
Right.
So that raised two
things. Because they talked, I guarantee you, they didn't talk to families outside of their circle.
And that's
they didn't talk to families of anybody who wasn't devoutly Christian and just like them.
And that's what's really scary. that they really don't associate with anybody outside of the whole quiverful Baptist movement.
No, and, not at all.
Yeah. And so they were getting this information about far worse sexual assaults among these other Christian families that they're all in friendship circles with or whatever. That's what was crazy. I mean, not only were they trying to mitigate their own scandal by saying that the other scandals were worse, but then that actually revealed that these other scandals are in and amongst other Christian families, other these other quiverful families.
Yeah, there was no way that they were actually going to take their kid to a secular psychotherapist. You know, that they were going to take that they were going to do what we expect them to do.
Yeah.
Of course they were going to pray over it. Of course they were going to talk to their fucking church elders. Of course they were going to, you know, speak to families who are in their circle. They were there was no way in any, you know, you can't try to imagine for a second Jim Bob with everything we know about them, Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar going all the way across town and talking to, you know, imagine while they're in you know, in New York City taping something for the Today Show, and Jim Bob pulls somebody aside and just says, look, you know, I want to talk to you about something. You know, you're a doctor, you're a psychologist, you've got, you know, you're somebody who's got a big family. Can you call, you know, I got something personal I want to tell you, but what the hell do you think would come of that? There's no way they would trust somebody outside of the Jesus freak land they live in.
No way. Not at all. The one thing, the one area where Megyn Kelly was actually a little bit hard-nosed with them was about the hypocrisy. And she made sure to ask about that way deep into the interview.
What the critics are going for is that you shouldn't have been preaching about moral values when you had a secret like this in your own family. That you should be calling other people sinners when you yourselves are sinners.
And our son violated God's principles of making of doing some improper touching. That was terrible.
Wow. Stop for a second. He didn't violate his sister's, but he violated God's principles.
Mm-hmm, right.
Think about that for a minute.
Earlier,
there's real beauty in that statement, and it's very revealing.
Yeah. Earlier on, they kind of compared themselves to Jesus. Jesus and his flock of lambs, and the one lamb goes astray, and they have to. Jesus, you know, said you got to go after the whole flock and the one that's gone astray. So they tried to do that too, which was.
Was the lamb trying to f*** the other lambs?
Not in that story.
I think it's been recently said that what Josh did was inexcusable, but it was not unforgivable.
Mike Huckabee said that when I was a friend of your family. Michelle, let me ask you, because, you were in the news for making a robocall that suggested transgender people might want to go into the bathrooms of girls, locker rooms of girls, and that they may be child molesters. Folks have used that in the past week against you, saying, how could you unfairly, in their view, compare transgender people to child molesters, suggest they are child molesters, knowing what you know about Josh?
I think that protecting young girls and not allowing young men and men in general to go into a girl's locker room is just common sense.
But this is different because you injected child molestation into it.
I think you actually said pedophile in that. And actually, a pedophile is an adult that preys on children. Joshua was actually 14 and just...
That's wrong, actually.
Thank you, distinction without a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I love about this? Listen carefully. Because this is so wonderfully indicative of the tightrope that Megyn Kelly is walking here. She doesn't actually confront them with these questions. She does it sort of third party. Well, you know, critics are saying, well, you know, these people, not me, I'm not saying this, but they're saying, because it's like she has to ask some kind of quote unquote, I'm putting air quotes around it, difficult or, you know, probing questions. But she knows that to Fox's audience, she can't be seen as being the one who's really hitting them.
Right.
She has to pass it off on somebody else.
Yeah, she's got to leave an opening where the viewers can discredit the source of the question.
Exactly.
Without discrediting her.
Right.
And then, of course, there's Michelle Duggar with her. I mean, that's basically all I'm hearing. Really,
that's your best impression ever.
Just.
That's it. There you go. You got her. You've got Michelle Duggar down pat. Speaking all you got to do, all you got to do now is shoot a fucking baby out of your vagina.
You know, I was wondering what they might be on. Like, they must be on some sort of substance to keep them so even keeled and completely emotionless, given the enormous turmoil that is swirling around them.
My money's on ketamine.
I think there's a wide variety of medications all combined into one called Cultopraxipro.
Hello and God bless. My name is Jim Bob Duggar from the hit television series 19 Kids and Counting.
And I'm Michelle Duggar. I'm a human gestation pod for the Lord.
As you might have read, we've been victimized by an evil, devilish media scandal.
The media agenda. Media just...
People have asked us, wow, Jim Bob, how do you and Michelle stay so even-keeled and unaffected by all the turmoil and improper touching?
Turmoil is the devil's work.
Yes, it is, Michelle.
I like shoes. Shoes are fun.
Here's how we achieve our current state of glazed, vacant, emotionless bliss. From the folks at Quiverful Laboratory in Heber Springs, Arkansas, we've been taking all new maximum strength Cultopraxipro.
Cultopraxipro.
Right you are, honey. Maximum Strength Cultopraxipro is a cocktail of the world's finest anti-anxiety and antipsychotic medications, including...
Chlorpromazine, Loxapac, Drolaptan, Perphenazine, Compazine, Zafiris, Abilify, Lurasidone, Seroquel, Zyprexa, Clozapine, Nipalept, and Haloperidol. Praise the Lord! There's an actual halo...
Anafranil, Norpramin, Sinequan, Trofranil, Marplan, Nardil, Emsam, Parnate, Xanax, Libria, Clonopin, Valium, Ativan, and Cerex.
Depakote, Lyrica, Neurontin, Tenormin, Korgar, Provasic, Inderol or Betacron, Moban, Risperol, Zalexa, Prozac, Luvox, Zoloft, Prospeak, Cymbalta, Fetzima.
Elavil, Amioxit, Doxepin, Novaril, White Zinfandel, Chlorhexfenadryl, Atipin, Vivictil, Humeril, Valdoxin, Wellbutrin, Metatone, and Alpha-Ethyltryptamine. Just take one Cultopraxipro with food.
Oh, I take 6 or 7 an hour.
That's nice.
My name is Michelle. Doodah, doodah.
It's Cultopraxipro from Quiverful Labs. When praying just isn't enough to stun you into an anesthetized cult-like state of emotional paralysis,
consult your Quiverful auditor before taking Cultopraxipro. You should not take 6 or 7 Cultopraxipro per hour. Side effects include dry mouth, wet mouth, lifeless eyes, Jersey girl hair, the barfs, pins and needles, rocks and garbage, dizziness, euphoria, no sense of right and wrong, spastic tone, moral superiority, the clap, ferret face, hysterical deafness, crusty limbaws, lengthy toenails, ectopic ectoplasm, the side hugs, gingivitis, bigotry, volcanic sputum, waxy lips, pubic staining, lens flare, gargantuan epiglottis, intravenous demilo, finger hair, and lung butter. Cultopraxipro. Use only as recommended.
Is it time for me to say improper touching again? Improper touching? Proper touching. It's improper touching. Proper.
I was doing pretty good there until lens flare. You know, I was actually as Jim Bob there was listing those off. I was basically counting the number of those drugs I've been on, usually at the same time. That's like a weekend for me.
Yeah, most of them are actual drugs, and I was wondering, should I consult with Chez about these to get the actual side effects?
Oh my God, yeah.
These nitwits! I'm really ambivalent as to whether or not they're actually going to get renewed by TLC, and I actually kind of thought that.
I originally thought that they would. I don't know if they will now.
I think given if as soon as they hear what Fox's ratings were for last night, and then by the way, Friday night they're going to have the girls on for an hour.
The girls who were touched.
Yeah.
The girls, by the way, who were mentioned so little last night.
Oh my God!
Like
I know.
The concern for them.
Yeah, that was one of the most perplexing moments is when Michelle Duggar faked crying for a second,
right.
And. She was crying about Josh having to leave the house to go and work construction with that old man or whatever the hell they passed off as actual therapy for the kid.
Yeah.
You know, they sent him off, and that's what made her cry. Not the fact that her daughters were sexually assaulted. I'm sorry, improperly touched. Oh, my God. Oh, the Duggars. Just an endless scandal
and
hypocrisy.
I'll give them a certain amount of like leeway in the idea that I see where they're trying to care about all their kids. But you can't just talk about Josh. You've got to talk about – you've got to really, really be there for the girls too. But of course, this is a patriarchal cult that they're members of.
Yeah.
Incredibly patriarchal.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, it, maybe an acknowledgement of the girls at some point would have been appropriate.
That would have been
it should have been. I mean, it should have been all about them and less about Josh.
Yeah.
And given the fact that they were so prepared – it's not like they were just winging it and they screwed up and they forgot to mention their daughters who were all molested by their teenage son. You know, they actually knew that maybe we should leave the daughters out of this for some reason. Oh, boy. The daughters.
Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord said
okay, we got a break.
There's gonna be
when we come back, we'll talk about, oh, God. Out of the insane frying pan into the crazy fryer. We're going to talk about Chuck C. Johnson.
You're right really trying to kill me.
Right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Oh, hi. I just realized that we've got a really damn good clip from Fox and Friends and the Deucey in the Box. Talking about the Duggars. It's Keith Ablow, believe it or not. Dr. Keith Ablow actually making sense on Fox and Friends this morning. You believe that?
That's a shocker.
Yeah. You gotta have really rotten circumstances to actually end up agreeing with Keith Ablow. Numerous people have to be molested in order for Keith Ablow to be correct about something. Here's Keith Ablow, who's a, I don't know, he's some kind of doctor? What's the story with his...
He's supposedly a shrink. He is just insanely dumb.
Does he do all of the, like, the body gesture analysis?
Yeah, I think he does some of that. Just honestly, Google Daily Banter and Dr. Keith Ablow, or quite frankly, Google Dr. Keith Ablow.
Oh, there you go.
And you'll see everything that's been written about him, all the incredibly dumb things. I mean, legit, like, one of the worst guys at Fox News when it comes to saying crazy.
Yeah. And of course, we also have Steve Deucey chiming in here, too.
Here to weigh in is Fox News Medical Aid team, Dr. Keith Ablow. Dr. Keith, I know you watched it. A lot of America watched it last night. What did you think?
Well, I think unfortunately, the Duggars, the family, is still locked in denial. I don't know if it's willful denial or not, but I was stunned when the dad said, well, no, we don't think our son is attracted to children because, after all, he wasn't 18. But that's not the definition of pedophilia. It includes older adolescents. It's folks who are developed, who are preying upon children who are not.
Right, here are the victims. We're going to hear from them tonight. Here's Michelle Duggar talking about how the girls were so young they might not have been affected. Listen.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Well, one by one, as we talked with them, none of them were aware of Josh's wrongdoings. It was more his heart, his intent. He knew.
You know.
Wow.
That's awful. It makes it worse. She's making it worse. It's so much worse that they were unaware of what was happening to them.
Right. And by the way, they weren't. She lied there. They weren't all unaware.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. She's lying her ass off right there. They were not all unaware.
Well, you know, she was. All she was saying was,
Yep. I mean, you know, the awful thing is that she's, God, just.
Yeah. Well, you get the idea. You get
I'm
the
sorry.
Idea.
I'm just like this. It's infuriating to listen to this.
Well,
and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference to them because they refuse to see that anything was wrong.
I mean, Abloh went on and on and on to say how crazy they were. And how terrible all of this is. And then Steve Ducey chimes in and says, well, what about the guys releasing the juvenile records? Isn't that awful? No. And he goes,
no.
And Keith Abloh goes, yeah, that's bad. But let's get back to why they're crazy here. You know, and Ducey, like, oh, I guess we should go to commercial. No one loves with Ducey in the box. Oh, my God, these people. So stand by for part two coming up on Friday. Okay, so Chuck C. Johnson did this interview with that Breitbart guy, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Something.
Yiannopoulos, right.
And just, you know, if you've been listening for a while, Chuck C. Johnson is this insane person, used to be with Breitbart, sues everybody, outs rape victims, what is it, he smears people on Twitter. And he's generally insane. He was just banned from Twitter for threatening people and being generally wrong. I like to think that part of his ban had to do with the fact that he was such a just a dick. I like to think that he was banned because he's a dick. There ought to be a rule about that on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that he was just that much of a dick.
Yeah, and it's just his head so far up his own ass. And you'll see here why he is. But before we get into this interview, there was a story on Little Green Footballs. The Chuck Johnson saga takes a dark turn. He evidently, there was an article published, God, where was it?
Jezebel.
Yeah, on Jezebel. And it was written by an anonymous author who discussed her sexual assault. And then Chuck C. Johnson masqueraded as a reporter for BuzzFeed and emailed her. Said, hi, blanked out. I'm writing to you now because we're interested in republishing your powerful anonymous article at BuzzFeed. I just want to make sure we have your permission. Right? And then he signs it, thanks, Jessica Testa, reporter at BuzzFeed. And, of course, Jessica Testa goes, that's not me.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically, Chuck C. Johnson broke the law. And then later on, he admitted that he did it. You know, in a sort of a roundabout way.
You know, his idea, this is it. His idea is that he's the future of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the future of journalism to him is that there are no scruples whatsoever. He is the end game of everything that we have been moving toward over the past several years.
Yeah.
The end of any sort of, you know, the final stop on the road to complete journalistic oblivion.
Yeah, yeah. So what he did was, the way he outed his own masquerade, was he posted on his Facebook page, the girl's name is redacted. He didn't redact it, but Little Green Footballs wisely redacted it. BuzzFeed just confirmed it. Go to gotnews.com for the rest of the story. Well, the BuzzFeed confirmation was actually his fake email to the actual author of the Jezebel piece.
Right.
So that's what exposed his own flimflam.
Yeah.
Good God. Well, here, we've never actually heard him talk on the show. Here's Chuck C. Johnson in this interview talking about how he's a First Amendment absolutist. And get ready. His head, he is like, he's choking on his own tongue, but up through his ass, through his stomach, up through his esophagus, and then into his own mouth again. That's how he's choking on his own tongue. He's so far up his own ass.
Do you understand what some of the criticisms are of the way you do business and of the way?
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. So, I'm interested in taboos and how taboos are used to essentially enforce social norms. And what I mean by this is that in the United States we have the Bill of Rights, right? Your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, so on and so forth. And I'm interested in kind of fostering a culture of expanded civil liberties and expanded rights. I don't believe in kind of legalistically approaching it. So I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe kind of our duty as journalists or as purveyors of information is to actually expand these liberties.
He's a First Amendment absolutist
who
sues anyone who says something mean about him on Twitter or Gawker.
Right, which he doesn't mind slandering people. He doesn't mind libeling people.
Right.
He'll say anything. He'll say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the idea. That's not the spirit of the First Amendment. That's horseshit.
Right, right. Well, he doesn't believe that there should be limits on the First Amendment. That's what's insane about it. So according to him, you should be allowed to say that Chuck C. Johnson pooped on the floor. And with impunity. You should be allowed to say that.
And without... yet he loses his mind when people do it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the first thing that happened, as soon as I post this article on, and I think it happened to you too, as soon as we post an article on the Daily Banter about Chuck C. Johnson, we put his photo up there, what's the first response we get? It's his photographer saying, take down that photo. And then Chuck C. Johnson said, take down that, our photographer said, take down that photo, or else we're going to sue you.
No.
It's First Amendment.
And the reason I do these things, the reason I am deliberately provocative, is in part because I read this book by Ryan Holiday called Trust Me, I'm Lying, which I highly recommend.
Right. This book lists a number of things that you should not do in journalism. And what Chuck C. Johnson has done is to take the do not do this list, and he's actually done those things.
Yeah, he's reverse engineered that.
Yes, exactly. He is psychotic.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's he really is.
Here's a little bit about his various and sundry lawsuits.
And I have a very kind of just war theory analysis. I read Baltazar Gracian, Sun Tzu, Machiavelli, all this stuff. I'm fascinated by strategy games. I was a competitive chess player in high school. I played poker.
Here's the rest of my resume. I was a competitive chess player. I play poker. I paid my way through college playing poker. Oh, and by the way, here's a bunch of books to show I'm erudite.
And oftentimes I look like I'm making a mistake. So, for instance, I've threatened to sue all these people, right? And everyone says, oh, he's a paper tiger.
I'm going to ask you about that. It seems like, you know, you sort of throw around these lawsuit threats a lot.
Why am I doing that?
What is it about?
What's it about, right? So the simple answer is I have a year from the point that the defamation is made to actually file this suit. If more and more people are defaming me, I have more and more potential damages. They're all my competitors. They all steal my content. And so I all have an opportunity to actually inflict massive damages on them in the court of public opinion, as well as in the actual courts. So it's kind of a strategy that I've employed and thought about based upon on the trading up the system idea of the Ryan Holiday.
His whole strategy is contradicting what he said about the First Amendment and how he's a First Amendment absolutist.
And I enjoy being deliberately inflammatory so that these other journalists who don't like me, who aren't as good researchers, actually advertise my work by status signaling that I'm a terrible person. Yeah, there are three things that they accuse me of. One is being on the floor in college.
Let's put this to rest.
All right, fair enough.
Once and for all, on this stream, did you shit on the floor at college?
No, I wish I had, though, because if I'm going to do the crime, I might as well do the time. Yeah, if I'm going to do the time, I might as well do the crime.
But see, now, it doesn't matter whether or not he actually did it at this point. The only thing that matters is just the reference to it and how it irritates him when you bring it up.
Right.
That's why I always mention it.
Yeah, but you know what the problem here is? If what he's saying is correct, then the only real justice for him and let's take him at his word here, because I honestly think you can. You know, I think that he's not capable of anything beyond. I don't think he's capable of very deep subterfuge. So if you take him at his word, I get the impression that he is one of the rare people who the only way to make him go away is to ignore him.
Yeah,
now that he's been pulled off Twitter, I think a concerted effort might be needed to just shut him out.
Yeah, I think so. But the thing is, he's still doing that, you know, the smear mongering on Got News and on Facebook.
Right.
And elsewhere. So, I mean, he still has, and frankly, Facebook gets a lot more traffic and feeds a lot more traffic to his site than Twitter ever will.
Right.
So
no, that's true.
In that regard, as long as he's on Facebook, he's still got considerable levels of reach. I should say. I don't want to say power.
He is the answer to, you know, the question: what happens when you give a psychotic a television station, or what happens when you give a psychotic a very, very, very large bullhorn?
Yep, that's right. One last short clip here. This is why people lie about him.
Why do people lie about you so much?
Because they're threatened by me. I'm doing their jobs better than they are on a shoestring budget, and I'm affecting the discourse in this country. And in fact, around the world, I've broken stories in Australia.
Yeah. See, that's all you need to hear of that. So far,
you know what he is? You know what he is? He's a pissy little arrogant nerd.
He is.
Remember the nerd from high school
who
was like, you know, I'm changing the world. I invented something where, like, these nunchucks that shoot lasers out of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I built an atomic bomb in my garage. And, you know what I could do? I could blow up half the world. Mm-hmm.
By the way, he goes on to say that people also lie about him because he's a jerk. And he attributes the fact that he's a jerk to being autistic. I don't believe for a second that he's actually autistic. I think he's just hiding behind that. He's hiding behind the fact that his mom had cancer when he was 8 years old. He brought that up several times in the interview. He's just an
arrogant little weenie asshole.
Yeah, he is. I think anything that happens to him will only benefit him. Whether someone kicks his ass, which I'm
that's,
not.
Well, yeah, that's a problem. That absolutely is a problem. Or, yeah, because of course, then he poked pictures. Yeah, I mean, it's no win. There's no way to make him go away. Aside again from no matter what he says, ignoring him. That is the only thing that will work.
Yep.
It is the only thing that will work.
But it's so difficult to ignore someone who just doesn't get it. He doesn't get journalistic accuracy. He doesn't get integrity.
No, he doesn't get ethics.
Yeah.
And he does hurt people.
Right.
But the only thing to do is to marginalize him. And the only way you can marginalize him is to ignore him. I mean, as best you can. It's the only way to get rid of him. It is the only way to make him into a non-entity.
Well, I hope you're right about that. But, just in my experience, I don't think that's actually happened a whole lot. You know, I think Sarah Palin's still around. She gets ignored. She's still around. There are shows that liberals don't watch at all on Fox News Channel or AM Talk Radio that flourish, that thrive, that are on 400 radio stations nationwide and making millions of dollars for the host.
Yeah.
And they're not even on our radar.
I get. I'm not arguing with you about, we've talked about this a bunch, about the, ignoring somebody versus calling them out. But I really feel like Chuck Johnson is a special type of person.
Yeah, we'll continue on the postmortem show.